Don't miss out. PropSwap has futures tickets on Green Bay selling like crazy. Green Bay odds started at 40-1, and now they've shot down to 15-1. Smart gamblers have been buying and selling Green Bay on PropSwap and are making a killing in just a few weeks. Also, right now, you can find last year's first overall pick, Arizona's quarterback, to win MVP tickets. Available on PropSwap. He's red hot, and he's led Arizona to an amazing start. Hurry, get a piece of the action. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app to learn how you can start making money. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The snap to Newton with some time in the pocket. Now rolls to his left. Nobody open. Newton tried to direct traffic. He's under pressure by Furl. He throws to the near side. Picked off. Running down the left side for the Raiders across the 20-yard line. Abram with the interception. And the youngster returns it inside the Patriot 15.
Yeah.
Tooney and Mason coming over eventually.
We sit there for 4 hours a day in the midday this week and took calls on his contract extension. But all these writers are saying you got to get done with Newton now after two games. This will quiet that real quick. Cam gets flushed outside. He waits, he wakes, and he makes a bad play worse, trying to force the ball to Izzo, of all people, on the outside there. But no. Two critical mistakes. Down the middle to Edelman, and obviously the pick right there.
Okay, Scott Zolak ripping into Newton after that interception and getting a little extra for his money, ripping Izzo as well. Trying to throw it to Izzo, of all people. Good job, Zo. Greg Bedard called that one of the worst throws he's ever seen.
Plays in general, not throws.
Oh, like worst plays. Go ahead, give me another 30 seconds on that.
Well, he had to check down. He had two checkdowns immediately. He also had a receiver streaking all by himself down the left side of the field deep. And then once he did roll out, he did a nice job avoiding pressure. When he did roll out, he could have went to the checkdowns again. He did not. Then when he did ultimately throw it, he missed the open receiver right behind where he was throwing, where nobody was around him and would have had a touchdown.
Okay. How about
instead they got an interception.
How about the contract extension talk that Zoe mentioned even there? How'd you feel about it even before that game?
In August, I was saying they needed to do something about Newton's contract, and I just wanted them to guarantee his incentives, just as an olive branch to set the course. But I'm team franchise tag for the next 2 years, if need be, and that's 3 years, about $65 million. I'm good with that, and plus I can go year to year.
So, franchise tag.
Yep.
Would you give it to him, like, now?
What do you mean? You can't give the franchise tag.
I know, but hypothetically, would you commit to him
you
now?
Know, tell him now. No. You know, I mean.
So. No, I'm letting the season play out. I want to see where he is physically. I will offer him a below market deal like I would Brady, somewhere in the 20s. If he doesn't want to take that and I like what I saw and I think he's going to hold up physically, then I will place the franchise tag on him. He'll play under that next year, and then we'll reevaluate a year after that. Meanwhile, I'm getting the next guy ready, and apparently it's not Jared Stidham, so let's go find another guy.
So you think it's not Jared Stidham?
It doesn't look like it right now.
Is there anything? Well, and it's just based on the fact that he's been inactive here the first 3 weeks?
Right. It feels like you have new info.
Yeah, I don't know. That just felt loaded in some way.
It's from, you know, they were disappointed with this training camp. There are people around the team who feel like he really didn't want it, that he didn't fight hard enough for it, and they were disappointed in that. It's not over. He could certainly be the franchise quarterback for this team down the road, but as of right now, I don't think they are counting, and I don't think they've ever counted on Jared Stidham, and that continues.
That's an insult.
What a bad sign.
I say insult meaning it's deserved. But if you are Jared Stidham and you are hearing you don't want it enough,
And the three straight weeks of an active list, that feels like punishment to me.
Yeah, he's number three. I mean, look, he lost to Brian Hoyer 2 years in a row. That's a simple fact.
He's cooked. Okay. He's cooked.
They're looking for a house in Texas.
Oh, Jesus. Big Jim, do you mind if I read your show email yesterday for the email of the day?
Oh, yeah, go right ahead.
Because this gets us into our next topic. Jimmy, do you have that for me?
Mimecast.
It's the Mimecast email of the day!
Dear Felger.
idiot.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felder at 985thesportshub.com.
The email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links like Greg Bedard going to porn sites can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, M-I-M-E. Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com.
This is going to even
don't
be...
make fun of me with Dunkin' Donuts enough. Now we're on to other stuff.
Yeah, fat fingers and porn sites can really gum up your whole network. So get Mimecast to protect you
from
Bedard.
Wonderful.
I thought he was going to Uber Eats.
This email is going to be new to me because I forget what the hell I even wrote.
Yeah, well, this is what you wrote in our show email yesterday to begin the proceedings. Be more boring you can't, says Bedard. Says Murray. I'm sorry. Be more boring you cannot. And he's talking about the Patriots. Hey, I get it. Whatever works. But holy crap, two of their three games were brutal viewing experiences. A whole season of this is going to be not fun to have to watch. Murray, do you find this Patriots team boring?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And this season and this team boring?
I mean, the Miami game and the Vegas game, they weren't great viewing experiences. And I think if you are saying otherwise, I kind of feel like you're lying to yourself. Like, those games were boring. They were. I'm glad that they won. It's nice. The Cam Newton story's great. It's encouraging what they've done so far. But those two games have been boring.
Agree or disagree?
I would say overall agree a little bit in that they weren't the most, but I think it had more to do with the opponent than it did with the Patriots. So
that's part of it for sure. Because the Seahawks game was wildly entertaining.
Yeah, see, I loved the Seahawks game. I thought it was good, and there were stretches in the Miami game that were better than this one. But the two opponents in those games just completely crapped all over themselves. I mean, they were just so bad, both of those teams. So,
yeah, and if this were the Patriots in the prime of their run, instead of being 21-11, it would have been 41-11.
I would have found those boring too.
So boring. This is so much more interesting.
I mean, so again, I'm eager to see this game this week. Like, I want to know what these guys are. So every step is a challenge. There are different, varying degrees or different degrees. So to me, when they go up against the good teams, I'm eager to see what it looks like.
You answer that, Greg.
I disagree. Number one. This is like every September that the Patriots have ever played since Bill Belichick has been here, where they play a dog crap team from the AFC East, and then they play a Raiders team that is not ready for primetime. This is like every other September. I mean, at least in game one, you had Newton doing cool stuff running the ball. Game two was awesome. Game three, all right, quarterback had a bad day, but it happens.
I think this is so much more interesting. It's not even funny.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's sort of a different question, though,
I mean,
right?
And this is sort of what I mentioned. Like, the last several years here, even when you won the Super Bowl, the games have just all blended together.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, I can't, but you mentioned the David Thomas penalty in 2008 at Indianapolis with Matt Castle. Like, I remember it like that. I remember all those plays, and it's just gotten to this point where there's just too many rote show up and waltz to a 42-17 win against some dirtbag opponent. And now, because you've come back to the pack, you actually have to fight for it, and there's something worth watching in there. And the whole Cam Newton thing, to see what it looks like and how they manage it, is fascinating. And I find it way more interesting.
So, look, it is more interesting. There's no question about it. I'm just talking about the quality of football. Their offense got better in that game against the Raiders as it went along. But the quality of football overall in that game and the Miami game wasn't great. The quality of football in the Seattle game, I thought, was pretty good, at least the offensive football, which to me is about what the viewing experience is about.
And so I don't know if I really agree if they have come back to the pack, and I think that's one of the things that kind of irked me. It's like, well, I thought that was going to be more of a competitive game on Sunday, and it was for like a quarter, and then it wasn't, because the Patriots, as always, are better than your middlers in crap.
Mass.
Yeah.
So it was really exciting that the game where the Patriots played the worst passing defense in NFL league history. I mean, that's really shocking. I mean, that's what it was. It wasn't good football. It was a crappy defense.
Correct. At the time, it fooled me. And so I thought it had something to do with the Patriots offense. So I thought, ooh, this is pretty good. But, clearly I was wrong about that.
All right, so let me ask you folks out there, are you entertained by this Patriots season or not? We will pick up those answers to that question after we do 10 questions. Right after these words, Felger, Maz, and the big boy from the Boston Sports Journal joining us to those 10 questions right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz.
Don't miss out. PropSwap has futures tickets on Green Bay selling like crazy. Green Bay odds started at 40-1, and now they've shot down to 15-1. Smart gamblers have been buying and selling Green Bay on PropSwap and are making a killing in just a few weeks. Also, right now, you can find last year's first overall pick, Arizona's quarterback, to win MVP tickets. Available on PropSwap. He's red hot, and he's led Arizona to an amazing start. Hurry, get a piece of the action. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app to learn how you can start making money. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes around the league and here in New England with the big boy, Greg Bedard. We have to stay on time, so Jimmy gives us buzzer options. What are they this week, James?
He's Mr. Bob Sosi.
It's our Heat Miser song. Very proud of it.
5'2".
Okay, I think backup vocals.
I forgot about that one. And he's right.
Keep going.
He thinks that Felger and Maz are really dirty rats.
Next. I told you about Miami. I was on the Heat first.
Watch out for the Heat.
They're a tough little team. Thank you. I was first. Next.
Daniel Tice sucks and blows, Felga.
Well said. Next.
Woof.
Okay. Simple enough. Hit whatever you want. Go.
Woof.
Number 10. There has been a COVID outbreak in Tennessee. Details have been read to you by Big Jim Murray in our update. Stay tuned for the very latest, but the Tennessee Titans have shut down their facilities until Saturday, which feels interesting given they have a game on Sunday. So, also, the Minnesota Vikings, who played them last week, have shut down their facilities for the time being as well. They also have a game on Sunday. What should happen with this, Greg?
The NFL should give those teams should be off this week. They should start adding a week to the end of the regular season. Just push it back because they have a built-in flexibility with the Super Bowl. It could be played a month later. Like they should not. Right now, I guess the plan is that those, at least the Titans, are not going to like practice at all, or maybe practice once. That's not fair. It's not competitively fair, and it's not fair for player safety. So they need to do something else. There's no reason why they can't just add a week onto the season and move that game back there.
Just play. This is the whole point of adding guys to the roster and having extra bodies and the whole thing. This stuff's going to pop up. You're going to have to deal with it.
Hold on, but no practice the entire week?
Too bad. Play.
What? It's football. How are you not supposed to play without? How are you supposed to play without practice?
Well, the Titans apparently are telling their players we're going to go all systems go here, even if we come walk through on Saturday.
Yeah, Vrabel's good with it.
Big deal. It's Vrabel. You know, he's a tough guy. Like, of course he's going to say that. Doesn't mean it's the right thing.
Play.
Yeah, I'm with Maz on this. Ignore the panic. Forge ahead, and you move that game. You play shorthanded. Throw a jersey on a janitor if you have to. Whatever you do, you play that game.
Play it out.
Wow.
What if that's the difference between home field advantage and the postseason?
Don't get COVID.
Man, what are you going to do?
Don't get sick.
Stay in.
I mean, I'm not, you know, I know it's not that simple, Greg. I'm being a little bit of a wise ass. I just think that what are you going to start doing? Making up all these games at the end?
Yeah. Like, add on a week and push any game that's delayed, push it to week 18.
I know.
What's the big deal?
Because there's no guarantee that it's going to be any better then, which is why just play.
Okay, well, you know what?
Expanded the roster, just play.
What do you folks think? 617-779-0985. We'll take your thoughts on that topic as well, but let's finish this first. Go, next. I told you about Miami. I was on the Heat first. Watch out for the Heat. They're a tough little team. First anywhere in the country, I was first on the Heat. Number 9, what player or coach across the league has come back to earth the most so far this season, Greg?
Drew Brees. He can't throw the ball downfield. He should have retired, and the Saints should have gotten Brady.
Good one.
I said Kirk Cousins, Minnesota. He had a great year last year. Everybody was talking about Kirk Cousins and won the locker room. He blows. They're awful.
Damn you, Maz. Same guy, Kirk Cousins. His completion percentage down 10 points from last year already. He already has 6 interceptions, same number he had all of last year.
Okay, I said player or coach, so I have a thought for that coming up later. It will relate to another question, but let's do the next one first.
Daniel Tice sucks and blows, Felga.
Okay, first question. Well, it's a similar question. You know, I say, what player or coach has come back to earth? How about what player or coach looks better than ever or has elevated the most so far this year, Greg?
Well, not Josh Allen, and that's for that jackass Buffalo fan who called last week. And I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. He's ridiculous.
Josh Allen, just to piss off Bedard.
Nice.
Josh Allen's been good. He has. No. He's improved. He's improved. No.
Did anybody watch the game on Sunday? First of all, the MVP of the Bills is Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator and the QB coach. Like, he's dialing up a lot of easy throws. Josh Allen does pull plays out of his rear end. He does make a couple really nice plays a game. But there are some, like, first of all, he threw a punt for an interception in that game. And then he's running around with the ball all over the place and he fumbles to allow the comeback. And he does that on every play. Like, that's how they lost. That's how they blew the lead against the Texans. They almost did that on Sunday. He is Brett Favre on LSD. He is completely out of control.
I like it. I think
that Buffalo fan last week clearly got under his skin.
Finally, the big boy woke up.
I also say Russell Wilson.
Okay, next.
He thinks that Felger and Maz are really dirty rats.
And number seven, if the Pats could take back just one player, one former player of theirs who went to another team across the league, who would it be? Who do they need?
I really don't want any of them because I don't think any of them are really all that good. But I guess right now I would take Danny Shelton back.
Here, can I answer?
Yeah.
Kyle Van Noy?
No.
I don't want to say it because I think the guy's sort of a pud.
Linebacker.
But they need Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah, they could use a linebacker. I say Akeem Hicks. I like the defensive tackle in the middle of the line. I think Akeem Hicks would be good here. That's where I lean.
The answer is always Akeem Hicks.
Unless you allow me Dante Hightower, in which case I'd take Hightower.
I don't allow
back that.
You don't think Kyle Van Noy was that good there, Greg?
No, he was fine, but I'm more aligned with you.
Yeah, he's a putz. Next.
And he's right.
Number six. Give me the quarterback in the league. Sorry, rephrase. Hardy, go easy. Give me all the quarterbacks in the league you would take before you get to Lamar Jackson. Okay? So this isn't quite strictly a ranking, but it's who would you take ahead of Lamar Jackson if you were starting a team?
Mahomes, Rodgers, Wilson, and Brady.
That's it?
That's it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Maz, Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson?
Prescott's on my list. So the guys that he gave you, Mahomes, Wilson, Rodgers, Prescott, Kyler Murray, I still take Carson Wentz. I think with a good coach and the right people, he's still fine.
Oh.
Joe Burrow, Brady, and then Deshaun Watson, and maybe even Josh Allen.
Oh, God. I have him eighth. Wilson, Mahomes, Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Brady, Prescott. Then you get the Lamar Jackson eighth.
Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson?
Dak Prescott. Yes, absolutely.
Dak Prescott.
He's on the bubble of the top 10. That's where he is. He's on the bubble there.
He's coming.
Close. Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo or Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson.
I lean Lamar Jackson there right now.
Garoppolo. Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson?
Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Right now I'm leaning Josh Allen.
Allen has more upside. He has more upside. I think Lamar Jackson's a really nice player and explosive and fun. I don't mean to rag on him, but I think he's limited. And so is Josh Allen, by the way. As I'm telling you, they're both projects.
Give Lamar Jackson Josh McDaniels, and then we'll see what happens.
It's just going to be more running around, more neat plays where he's running around like an idiot. But, can he go back three steps and complete a 7-yard ball on third and six over the middle? That's my question.
Allen's improving, I'm telling you.
I felt that way. Talk about being first. I've been telling you that for a while about Allen. That's another one. I clipped that one, too. I was first on him and the Heat.
Aren't you special?
Next.
5'2".
Who's been the biggest tool bag in the NFL through 3 weeks?
Burt Breer.
Perfect. Nice.
It's going to be a running thing all season.
Mass.
Okay. I'm going to go Dan Quinn. On Tell the Truth Tuesday, Dan, you suck.
I said the Atlanta Falcons for their inexplicable and hilarious meltdowns these last couple of weeks.
All right. So when I asked you what player coach has come back to earth the most so far this year, I thought someone was going to say Doug Peterson.
I believe he was on my list.
So I'll
that
put him,
started last year.
So I'll put him in the tool bag category here, too. And it's true. You know, over the last two, three years, boy, has Peterson and Wentz come crashing back to earth. Peterson, most notably. Like, what happened to him?
Yeah, it's Frank Reich. That's why.
Big ball Doug Peterson, Philly special. Lay it all out there. I read this again today. What was his stupid book called? Like, Fearless. That's what he called the Super Bowl running, his autobiography.
Now he's ballless.
now he's winless.
Now he's freaking punting, against the Cincinnati Bengals anyway. And then he's turned into a total tool. Even more, he was always sort of dicky at the podium. He's become even worse.
That stupid tennis visor.
So anyway, he's my biggest tool bag in the league. Next.
Woof.
Number four, who should be the most depressed fan base in the league? This is easy.
Yeah, me too.
Bedard.
The Jets.
Oh, yeah.
There's just, I got nothing for you. Sorry, Jets fans.
J-E-T-S, sock, sock, sock. Seriously, that is so pathetic. I did the math, and I don't have it in front of me. I think they've been outscored like 89-37 or something like that.
And they're ruining the franchise quarterback.
Exactly. Yes.
Who might have had a chance. You don't know, yep. But he might have had a chance, and now they've completely ruined him.
Oh my gosh, they're going to start all over again.
I think
Come to New England.
It's too late. I think that kid has been ruined. The coach is an idiot. It's never going to get better. That's the Jets experience.
94-37 is what it is. 94-37 in three games.
Can you imagine being a fan of that team? Next.
Daniel Tice sucks and blows, Felga.
Okay, speaking of the Jets, how's this for a Thursday night special? Even Jim Murray's cats are looking at Murray on this one saying, you got to be kidding me. So here's the question. What would you rather watch? Broncos Jets on Thursday night or Biden Trump on Tuesday night?
If Bortles was starting for the Broncos, I would want to watch that game. I can't watch Brett Rippin. It's got to be the debate.
I don't care who's starting. I'm going debate. Absolutely the debate.
Oh, the debate. It's going to be a must-watch train wreck.
Not even close.
I'm doing anything I can not to watch that. Please don't make me watch
that. Oh, I got
to
watch some of it.
I can't watch it. I can't. I'm trying to figure out what to do. There's no, the hockey's over. There's no basketball scheduled. The NL games, the Brewers aren't even on. I can watch an AL playoff baseball game. I don't think I can bring myself to that. I'm going to take an exercise class. Please don't make me watch that.
You're an old man. You're a liar.
Oh, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be so aggravating, and you know it. And give me Broncos Jets all day long. Please. Next. I told you about Miami. I was on the Heat first. Yes. Watch out for the Heat. Watch out for the Heat. Watch out for the Heat. They're a tough little team. And Josh Allen. I had him first, too. Number two, who will need the benefit of fans in the stands the most come the second half of the year and into the playoffs, if you like?
That's a really good question. And
thank you.
I had another team, but now I'm flipping real quick. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I originally had the Bills because I thought they needed the fans there to fend off the Patriots. But now I think it's the Patriots for that reason. They're going to need the help of fans to retain the AFC East.
I'm going to go Raiders. I think, you know, new stadium, new city. They look like a borderline playoff team. If they get some fans in there and that place gets rocking, I think that could help them.
I'm going with New Orleans. They're already a game behind Tampa. They're going to be neck and neck with them for the division. If you watch late Sunday night, Aaron Rodgers made them jump with that cadence thing that he does. Offsides in their own house. Like, that can't happen. They're going to need fans there to get some help.
Murray's right. My answer is any dome team. Because when you think about it, there's no
Minnesota,
Indianapolis.
Any dome team. And here's why. There's no home field advantage now for anyone. But when it gets to January, you know, Green Bay and New England and the Northeast teams are going to have a home field advantage because the dome and southern teams aren't good in the weather. And forget about the fans. The dome team's only advantage is crowd noise. That's all you get. You get Aaron Rodgers, and I've seen it now twice. I've never seen him look so good in Minnesota or New Orleans in these games. Or you get Brady, or you get one of these quarterbacks, and there's no crowd noise, and the only advantage you have as a dome team is that deafening crowd noise and silent snap counts and all that. That's gone. If you don't have that, the dome is useless.
You're playing in a mall.
Oh, okay. So it's absolutely the Saints or the Vikings or the Raiders or one of those L.A. teams. Whoever plays in a dome needs the crowd. Last one.
Woof.
Number one, you have to pick one of these quarterbacks for the Patriots next year because this is possible. Cam Newton goes, and these two guys could be available for you. Mitch Trubisky or Gardner Minshew? Who do you want to be the next Patriots quarterback?
Minshew every day, twice on Sunday.
Minshew.
He's good.
Yeah.
You know what? Have you looked at some of his career numbers? He's pretty good.
He is.
He's pretty good.
I like that garbage team.
I think he can play more upside. I like his moxie. He's got wheels. He can do something with a broken play. I wouldn't let Mitch Trubisky sell me tires. He sucks.
Nope.
74% completion percentage this year. And for his career, 27 touchdowns, 9 picks.
I'd take Trubisky. Easy.
What?
I knew you would say this.
Yeah, give him Belichick. Higher ceiling, more tools.
Oh, God.
See what you got.
He's not accurate,
though.
Give me a
break. He's terrible, Felger.
And you, of all people, shouldn't pick the athlete over the guy who has a clue.
You just want to prove yourself right so badly that it's Belichick and not Tom and all this crap.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I thought you were going to say, I've never said one nice word about Trubisky in my life. I just think you're giving Bill a raw piece of clay, so give someone with more upside. And
it's a turd. You're giving him a thing. Turd, not clay. Turd.
Minshew doesn't have, and not that I should really care about this, he doesn't have a really good arm.
He's great.
I thought
he's
it wasn't about the arm.
It's not about the arm, I know.
I'm telling you, he's got a clue, though. He knows how to play the position. Okay. He's just not, he might not be big enough. I'll give you that. But he has a clue.
Okay, back to your calls. Does this Patriots team interest you or bore you like it does Big Jim Murray? And should they play this week? Again, Tennessee has had a COVID outbreak. They've closed the building until Saturday. They're playing a game Sunday, and Vrabel and the league has said, you're playing Sunday. So you walk through on Saturday, you play on Sunday. The rest of the week, you're sitting at home in front of your computer with your Schmenzer in your hand. And so should they play? Murray and Maz say, yes, play. Bedard says start tacking games on to the end of the year. What do you think about that? First, the very latest on what's going on with that COVID situation and the update here.
So you're a business that's thriving. But then, oh, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones. As promised with Greg Bedard again. Feels like the NFL's pushing ahead to playing Sunday. Tennessee and Pittsburgh, even though Tennessee's not going to do anything until Saturday. Shut it down all week, and they're still going to play. Dave and Randolph. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I got to disagree with Greg for a couple of reasons. First, what if a team has to miss two or more games? How are they going to make up those extra games? I mean, sure, you could play one game in Week 18, but what if a team for some reason misses two or three? And also, it essentially gives both teams an extra bye week in the middle of the season, which I think is a far bigger competitive advantage than just having to play a team that doesn't get to physically practice. They can still look at film. They can still go through their drills on their own.
Well, but not if you give them a loss. You know, that's been thrown around too. You give the Titans a loss. You're responsible for staying healthy. If you're not, you take a loss. How do you feel about that?
So to me, that one is a little extreme, but I would say that if it gets to the point where you start missing multiple games, then it is what it is.
What, like, if you find out the offense?
What do you mean it is what it is, Tony? This is the National Football League. There are 16 games in the season.
Okay, but like, it's unusual, Greg. It's an unusual year. You got to come up with something that, again, if there's bad luck involved, there's bad luck involved. I'm just telling you, it's not perfect. I'd go ahead and play the games, and then if it gets to the point where all of a sudden you can't play for 3 weeks, well, you know, you might have to take a forfeit in there.
I mean, I just think that's ridiculous. The Titans it is are 3-0. They're 3-0. They right now, they're up there for the one bye. There's only one bye now in the NFL, and they're up there for that, and you're going to chalk it up to, like, they have bad luck, and they're going to get – no.
Well, no, hold on.
The NFL
– let me ask you this,
hang
Greg.
Hang on. The NFL has built in that the Super Bowl can be played a month later. Like, do we think this is going to be the only blip on the screen? No. Now, look. I haven't sat down and looked at their schedules. I'm sure there's something they could do with the bye week and move this and that. That's fine. Try that first. But if not, just tack it on to the end of the season and play it. The Super Bowl could be played a month later.
What if you find out the team was, you know, grossly negligent? In other words, the offensive line goes out to a strip club. Half the team goes out to, I don't know, whatever. So a wet T-shirt contest at a bar.
It's different.
Okay, what do you find out? And there was, I don't know exactly what happened in Tennessee, but didn't they have a linebackers coach who was out being tested, but he was with the team or around the team? Or what if they just botched? And I don't know exactly what happened there, but let's just, again, hypothetically, that they botched the protocols, blatantly and wantonly botch or ignore protocols. Then should they be punished accordingly with a loss? My answer is yes.
I mean, look, I told you, this is how I feel about it. In that league, it's hard, and I think you just got to keep marching forward. And so if you're going to play the season, you're going to play the season.
I mean, as a team, hell no, we're not wearing a mask. It ain't in the Constitution. I'm not wearing the mask. Okay, take the loss. No problem. Like,
you can't give them a loss. You fine them. Loss is ridiculous.
No. But the point being is
what if they're negligent?
Yeah, and not only that, but what if that rescheduling is sort of becomes a problem because it happens multiple times or you lose 80% of your roster?
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about so there's bad luck, and bad luck should not be punished. But if you're wantonly disregarding the protocols, Then no, you get what? No, then you deserve the loss. I mean, and I don't know that Tennessee did that. I don't. I've heard nothing that they have. I'm just saying if, because in baseball we heard all those teams shut it down because of gatherings and whatnot. And if you're, you know, and if you're going to ignore it, then you suffer the consequences.
Right. So the only thing is, can you prove it?
Right. You trust the NFL to do a thorough investigation?
Yes, I do.
Can you prove? Like, no. I just think that whole thing gets unbelievably gray, and there's no right answer. And so I would say, you got
to
play.
The defense, 30 players on defense go out to a strip club.
Prove it.
Well, so
we have camera phone pictures of the defense, you know,
yeah,
doing
motorboating
inside the clubhouse.
I have no problem with there being a forfeiture there.
Of course, prove it. Yes, we have camera phone footage.
I at least make them play. I mean, I make the Titans, I'm not giving them a loss. I'm making them, in that circumstance, I'm making them play with, you know, all their practice squad players or whatever.
Yeah, look, again, I told you, I don't have any problem with the league doling out a forfeiture if the situation calls for it. I don't.
Okay, so that's...
Tony, that's ridiculous.
That's what
I know
I'm
it
saying.
Is. It's a ridiculous year, Greg. It is.
But you just let them play. They have 16 players on the practice squad. Like, let them play. Let them sign guys off the street. I don't care. But you're not just forfeiting in an NFL game in a 16-game season. Yeah. This isn't baseball.
I'm
you're not doing that.
Or you give them a tie. That's a happy medium.
The problem, look, I'm not telling you I like baseball system either, but they had something that football didn't, which is the ability to play two in one day. So they were able to make up a lot of these games. I think football gets complicated. It does. It gets complicated. It's hard.
I just think if the teams or the players are irresponsible, they should suffer the consequences. I'm talking about, you know, it's a loss. It's a loss. But wow. I don't know if Tennessee did that. So, look, I'm just saying that I think there's – I don't know. I would just leave that possibility open. Real quick, our other question. Ryan and Worcester, you excited or interested in this Patriots season?
Yeah, I mean, the answer is a 100% yes, and simply because we're not watching Tom Brady. I just think that man is so boring to watch nowadays. He likes to do this thing where he throws the ball, and it wherever he throws it is going to be the perfect spot, and if it's not caught, then it's everyone else's fault, and I'm just sick of watching him throw the ball all over the field.
Okay, so I don't fully believe that makes the game more interesting. You got sick of Brady's act, which is sort of independent. I got sick of 42-17. And, you know, Miami week one, no chance. Oakland week three, no chance, none, zero. Now there's a chance because you've coming back to the pack and there's a whole different quarterback with a whole different style on the field and off, and that whole thing's fascinating. I think it's so much more interesting. You don't, Murray. You prefer 42-17 with
Brady? No, I was bored to death by this team last year, too. I thought it was going to be a little bit more opened up, and it's been just, you know, a seal here and a seal there. We're going to ground the punt. Like, this game this past Sunday was like, oh, Jesus. And a lot of that has to do with the competition. And so I guess what it really comes back to is that the Patriots are still way ahead of, like, your middlers in the NFL. Like, I know that they were 2-0, but the Raiders are kind of a fraud, and they're a middler. And, you know, they were competitive for about a quarter, and then it went wayside, and the Patriots blew them out, as they were wont to do every single time they play a team like that. So, I don't know. I thought it was going to be a little bit more competitive. It wasn't. I just thought that part, I feel, is lacking. Like, the Seattle game was awesome and competitive. I'm sure the same thing's going to happen against Kansas City. But so far, the Miami game, the Vegas game, it's like, oh, I've seen this now for so long. Like, oh, it's just boring.
I do think it's a reflection on Bill's ability to keep his focus, which is, no, we're going to do what we have to do to win. If that means we have to run it 50 times, we're going to run it 50 times and we're going to win the game. And if Murray's bored, go to hell, Murray.
Yeah, go to hell, Murray. Final thoughts with Bedard and what he thinks the Pats have to do to win this game in Kansas City this week coming up next.
Tell your sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Mass Golf. Join the Mass Golf community at massgolf.org/play today and start enjoying Mass Golf benefits, including establishing an official USGA handicap online through the Members Now program. Visit massgolf.org/play today and enjoy the game of golf here in Massachusetts.
Okay, when you call and say three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger and Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A quick follow, Bill. Patrick Mahomes, what are your thoughts on him as a player?
I mean, all the superlatives that have been said about him, I'd just be repeating them all.
How about that approach, Mass? Big big boy. Big Greg Bedard. He goes on and on and on about Russell Wilson.
I was just going to say this. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. So you know where I'm going. He goes on and on and on about Russell Wilson. You can't got to put a ball gag in his mouth. You're going to stop talking about Russell Wilson, but he won't give a word about Patrick Mahomes. Why?
So my guess is that, I would say the big thing is he wants his team supremely focused this week, and he doesn't want to build up Mahomes and to be something that they can't compete with. I think he's worried about the game.
It's the conference. It's that, you know, they have to go through the Chiefs now. I mean, they're the new kid on the block. They're the defending Super Bowl champions. They have what Belichick wants, and so he doesn't like it. If Patrick Mahomes was in the NFC, he'd go on and on about him.
So it is a good point. He raved about Rodgers too, and Rodgers in the NFC.
So I don't want to win the game. Like that feels like, I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah, and also I think it's sort of ticky tack. Like talk about tactless is a better word. Like come on. You can't just sit there and say, hey, look, he's an extremely talented young player. We all know what he can do. You know, because you do. You completely spew about every other great player that you're asked about.
NFC, well, AFC. That's interesting. Go ahead.
But all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes' name comes up and what? Well, I'll just be repeating what everyone else said. I think, you know, I get the sense his time means more to him this week. Like, I do. I wonder about that. Well, like, I'm not going to go on for 3 minutes about Patrick Mahomes because we got to get ready to play these guys and we need to win the game.
So it's been a long time since I've been in this situation. But I think this is one of these rare cases for this team over the last 20 years, which is another reason why this is more interesting to me, where they actually have to downplay an opponent. In other words, you can actually beat this guy. He's not as good as everyone is saying. And they've almost never had to do that for so long. The time I remember, I don't know if you were covering the team way back when, Greg, but 2001, Brady's second or so game, you had no idea what the Patriots were going to be or he was going to be, and Peyton Manning and the Colts came in here. No, it was his first game. It was Brady's first game, right? First start. The Colts came in here. And Brian Cox said something really, really vile about Peyton Manning in the locker room, so you weren't there. He said, I'm not here to blank another man's blank. And, you know, he'd like,
yeah,
it was crude, but it was what the team needed at that point because they were nothing. And here comes Peyton Manning with all these numbers and all this offense. And the whole message there this week from Belichick and his lieutenants was, he's just another guy. You can beat him. He puts his pants on like everybody else. Here's where you can beat him. And, you know, they spent the week bringing him down to earth. And I think for the next 20 years, all they had to do was pump up opponents because they were better than everybody else most of the time. And this is one of these rare cases. They actually have to bring somebody down and convince his team that you can beat this guy.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to slight Mahomes in the process, right? Everyone else has already said it. I'm not going to say it. I mean, I think there's something to that because the other part of his comment this morning,
he's almost never had to do this. I can't remember the last time he's had to do this.
He also said, you know, we need to play our best game. We need to coach our best game. Like the emphasis that he put on it to me was almost like we need to stay focused. I'm not going to get off the ball. And what you're saying, I'm not going to, you know, make this guy out to be so great that I psych out the young guys on this team.
It's like Herb Brooks and the Team USA against Russia. Like you can beat these guys. I'm sick of these guys. They look like, you know, they started ragging on them. So I don't know. Say just something like that, Greg. What do you think about this game? What's the path to victory for the Patriots?
I do think that the Patriots need to, you know, control the clock and they need to shorten the game a bit, but they are going to have to dial up plays in the passing game. I think to me, when I look at that Chiefs defense, I think you can run on them, but I also think Sorensen, the safety, is a guy to target. I think he's a big play waiting to happen. I think their linebackers are weak. This would be a week for the Patriots tight ends. Izzo, Asiasi, it would be great to get Dalton Keene back. Which I'm not even sure where he is on the roster.
Yeah, back? Where'd he go in the first place? I don't know where the guy is.
Yeah, he hurt his neck at some point. That's a rough injury. But, you know, he's an athletic mismatch guy against a linebacker. That's the idea with him. So that would be nice. But I think, you know, I think defensively, I think you're going to see a lot of defensive backs. They've been playing them all this year. It won't be eight with four defensive linemen, but it might be seven.
You know, as soon as he said Sorensen, I said, well, who are you going to beat him with? What tight ends do you have? Baltimore's got tight ends coming out their rears, and they couldn't throw last night.
So, Greg, let me ask you one more time. Can they beat the Chiefs playing bully ball?
Yes. I think that they can. I think it's really rough right now at the end of the season. They're not ready yet. I don't think they're ready yet.
I'm pretty sure he said no 2 hours ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm still trying to figure that out. Can they beat the Chiefs doing that thing?
No.
And but you're saying, Greg, because their passing game isn't there yet.
Correct.
Okay, but I'm just asking about purely ball control, controlling the clock, running it down their throats, keeping Mahomes off the field, that whole cliche approach. Can they win that way?
Eventually, yes.
He says eventually. I say no, because, again, I think what that does is it keeps you close. And then, I suppose you could count on a missed kick or something like that. But I think that in order to beat the great teams, you got to make some plays.
Okay, Greg, thanks for coming in.
Sounds good.
Meaning, thanks, you know.
See you, big boy.
Cyberly coming in. Catch the big boy on the Boston Sports Journal. Give it a subscription. It's worth your time and your money. Here comes a 90-second update from Murray, the very latest on the COVID situation in Tennessee. When we come back, I want to give you a Celtics and Bruins hour. We have not talked one Bruins segment since they lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't think we've done one segment after the first day. So I do want to hit on the Torrey Krug's imminent departure and where that leaves the Bruins. And the Celtics fallout continues, which is what we will pick up immediately after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials. Can the Patriots beat the Kansas City Chiefs, Greg, playing bully ball?
Right now, Michael, I don't think so. Not in week 4.
Don't miss out. PropSwap has futures tickets on Green Bay selling like crazy. Green Bay odds started at 40-1, and now they've shot down to 15-1. Smart gamblers have been buying and selling Green Bay on PropSwap and are making a killing in just a few weeks. Also, right now, you can find last year's first overall pick, Arizona's quarterback, to win MVP tickets. Available on PropSwap. He's red hot, and he's led Arizona to an amazing start. Hurry, get a piece of the action. Go to PropSwap.com right now or download the PropSwap app to learn how you can start making money. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets.